everything in the reception.
Yes.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Good morning again. Blessed feast, joyous feast to all of you. Today is the feast of Saint Michael, the Archangel, the protector of this holy community, the patron saint of all of us here in this holy community. You know, every church has a name. Every church has a name. And before I give my teaching, so I greet all of you, beloved in Christ, downstairs and upstairs. And if new visitors are here today, I welcome them. If we never met before, after church we will visit together. We will have lunch together and social time. And that is a great moment for me to meet all of you and to visit with all of you. So it has been over a year since my last visit. And many, many things, many good things took place so far since last visit. I am sure that spiritually you are growing, and this is a good and healthy thing to have. New people, new faces, trying to live as Christians as much as we can in this secular life. Try to be avoiding any kind of evil. And this is, you know, like our biggest problem in the church. You know, in the church we feel that we are in heaven. After church we go back to reality and to the real life and to the fake life, I call it, you know, not real, but fake life, but we accept it the way it is. But we do our best. We do our best. Imagine every time we have a service, a beautiful service like this, how many times you hear, "Lord, have mercy," why? Well, just to prolong the service? Of course not. Because if not God's mercy in our life, in this society, in the priesthood, we will be attacked by every power of this life. So, beloved in Christ, we are blessed to have a church like this, to have a family, a spiritual family like this. You know, we know it's not a new invention that we claim and we judge and we say that we have evil attack here and there and wherever. That is not a new invention. We'll continue forever. You know, good and evil are fighting from day one, since the creation happened until the end of the ages. But today we got the answer. Today we got the answer, the good news, that any evil will not last forever, will not last for long. Just for short time. The good will prevail. Godliness will prevail. Forgiveness will prevail. Love will prevail. Every good thing will prevail, because every good gift comes from God Himself, not from any human being. So today I rejoice with you on this beautiful occasion of St. Michael's feast. The commemoration of St. Michael's is a beautiful commemoration. Everyone will receive the blessing in many ways, in different ways. So I greet the newly elevated to Archpriest, Father Stephen. You know, here I can tell you something positive today about the cell phone, or about the email, or about the technology we use. Most of the time we use it for something unchristian. But sometimes, you know, like we use it for a good purpose, a good reason. So the elevation idea came through emails and through communication. And this is what happened. So the communication and the technology brings or brought to all of us here today, and to Father Stephen in particular, some good news. So the elevation means that when I elevate, when the bishop elevates someone to a higher degree, a higher office, it means that an appreciation for him and for his family and for the entire community under his care. Not only for him. This is the cross of Jesus Christ. So when the Holy Synod, when the Patriarch, our Holy Father, put what you see on me in many years ago, so it means that this dignity and this honor, not only for this person, but for the entire community. So this is an honor and a great appreciation to Father Stephen and to all of you. You know, I don't respect any clergy who is working for some elevation. The elevation has to come natural after many years. So being humble, being simple, being like doing God's will, his focus is on that. He is not like looking for any human dignity or appreciation. So the appreciation comes naturally. While if someone comes to me and impose something on me or on you, or it looks like fake, unreal, don't you think? So Father Stephen never worked or never thought or never asked for anything like that, like what happened today. So that's why I took him by a surprise. And I love surprises. So I appreciate what he is doing, and I love this man, and you love him too. And he never failed me, and I pray him not to fail the ministry and the bishop and the church and the faithful. We pray for him. You know, because it's not an easy to be Christian these days. It's not an easy thing. So that's why I said, when we are in the church, we are in heaven. But some churches, they don't experience heaven yet. So that's why I said to people somewhere else, you have a beautiful church, you have a beautiful building, but you don't have a church yet. Because they need a lot of work, a lot of repentance, a lot of love, a lot of forgiveness. They need to change their whole mentality, the way they look at the church, the way they do church, if you like church's ministry, is not a Christian way at all. So we struggle. We are not living in paradise yet. We are not perfect. You know, one of the Holy Fathers says, that the moment you feel, or someone, the moment someone feels that he is perfect, that is a good proof that he is imperfect. So I greet Father Stephen, and I pray for him with you to uphold this holy ministry and to minister to you the best of his ability, to the best of his ability. We don't like to lose any one of you from the kingdom of God. Our ministry is to prepare you from this moment for the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is not a place. The kingdom of God is not a geographical area. The kingdom of God means the presence of Jesus Christ in our life, today or tomorrow or after many years from now. So that's what we need. The church is a necessity in our life. The church is the answer. The church is the medicine. The church is the vitamin. The church is the air we breathe. The church is more important than any human food. The church is more important than any human gain or any human title. So God's presence in you and in me, in everyone present here, and those who are in our prayer, those people who are in the churches everywhere, here in the Middle East, in Africa, in everywhere, they are looking for the kingdom of God. Very few do not care about the kingdom of God. They care about money. They care about positions, titles, appreciation, and you name it. So those will waste their time. And sooner or later, we will be working on them. But when they feel that they don't fit in one place, you will see that they don't fit. So I greet Deacon Stephen Holly. I greet the subdeacons, Subdeacon Thomas Rice. Now he is traveling with me. And you miss him, I know that. And his wife misses him. And he's a wonderful man. So I have known him for many years. And so that's why I chose him to be my friend and my assistant until a further notice. Do you have enough patience? Okay. Sometimes, God bless her, sometimes she drives him to my house early before the dawn, still dark, to catch a plane to someplace. So I appreciate you also. He's a wonderful man. He's quiet, but when he says something important, something like substantial, and I hear him on the plane. So I'm quiet, reading all the papers from the parishes, reports, bulletins, and letters, and everything. He is quiet. He is playing with his iPad. But the people talk to him about Orthodoxy, about Christianity, about the faith, when they look at me like as a clergy, and they ask him, what's going on here? And he starts preaching them. He sounds, you know, I'm listening, I'm reading, but I'm listening at the same time, in a secret way. And he sounds like St. Paul preaching to the Gentiles. You know, I am so proud of him. I have known him as a quiet person, but he's not quiet, by the way. And he's loved. He is loved by every parish I am visiting. So thank God for him, and thank you for what he is doing. So Archdeacon George also, you have known Archdeacon George. Archdeacon George has been a faithful and devout Archdeacon for over 30 years without any pay. He is giving his life totally to God and to the church. And now after two hips replacement, he wants to travel, and we just came back. He was with me in Chicago in the Bishop's Assembly. So thank God he is improving and he is healing. Also, I have Subdeacon Lazarus and Subdeacon Thomas Uliso, and the readers, Reader Basil, and the servers, Eden, I am proud of you, serving with your daddy. Christopher and Alexander and Joseph. So these are fine gentlemen and wonderful, like to have them serve in the altar. You know, I am very happy to see this improvement in this holy community, as I said, spiritually, of course, but also as a building. And I thank for all those who were behind that. So especially who did the beautiful construction, Jerry Chatelet from Riverside. Is Jerry here? Thank you, Jerry. Beautiful, outstanding job. You know, the altar looks beautiful. And did you ask yourself, you know, why these four symbols there or pictures there, why do they represent? Anyone does not know what do they represent, these four. But we have the first one is like a lion. No, the first one, Matthew. Matthew, what is it? I can't see it from here. So we have a lion, we have eagle, we have a human face, like archangel. And we have also the cow or the ball. So do you know, anyone does not know what they represent? All right, if you know... You don't. These are Christian symbols, you know, like, and we see them in the four evangelists. Every evangelist has a different symbol. So Matthew, because he was his teaching was about Jesus' genealogy and Jesus' family and Jesus' birth and everything, so it represents a human face. Like an angel with human face. And Saint Mark the lion, because his teaching, you know, like he was young and small and gospel, the smallest. So actually in the canon of the New Testament, Saint Mark should be the first gospel in the book. But it was the shortest. So it doesn't tell the faithful, you know, everything they should know. So that's why the church chose to put it the second. So Since Mark's gospel was the shortest, it has many mistakes, but not theological mistakes. When we study the criticism of the New Testament, they teach us, you know, that. So there is no theological mistakes. But the mistakes, for example, some area in Palestine, he says, like next to Whittier, for example. What to do Palestine with Whittier? Some areas in Palestine, you know, are not close to each other. And in the gospel, he says that they are close to each other, like Jericho, Jerusalem, and this and that. So he didn't have much knowledge about geography and about areas and about this, because he was a fisherman. While Matthew was different, shrewd, was a tax collector, he knows how to do money. We come to the third one, Matthew, the archangel, Mark, the lion, and we come to the third one, bless you, we come to the third one, Saint Luke, was a very highly educated man. He was a physician. He was a physician. But he was an icon writer also. So he wrote the five icons of the Most Holy Theotokos, according to our tradition. And one of the icons he has written in Cyprus, in where President Archbishop, he was President and Archbishop of the island in Cyprus, Makarios, where he is buried. And there is a monastery, a huge monastery there in Cyprus, on a high, very high mountain, very high hill. And that area, the monastery is Kiku Monastery, not Kuku, Kiku Monastery. So one of the icons is there. The other icon is in Jerusalem, in the holy city of Jerusalem, of course. One of them is in the monastery of Sednaya in Syria. So when we go and visit that monastery of the Holy Theotokos, just a little icon like this, like this size, and very old, but it is miraculous. And the other two, I have no idea where. So number four, and the most important gospel is St. John, the theological. You know, the first one, as I said, that genealogy, about family and genealogy. The second one, Mark, was like small, and the smallest, the shortest gospel. The third one, we call it the pastoral gospel of St. Luke. And the fourth one is the theological, because, you know, like the most deep, the deepest, let's say, teaching about what happened and where all our faith comes from, and all the teaching of Jesus Christ as theology. While St. Luke, for example, you know, all miracles, about miracles, you know, feeding people and here and there. St. Matthew, the homily on the Mount, on Olive, Mount Olive, and St. Mark, you know, like similar to St. You know, the first three Gospels are similar to each other. So that's why, you know, like Mark was not decided to be put the first Gospel. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we call them the synoptical. Synoptical means equal Gospels. Means like all the stories, you know, like in these three Gospels are similar. The only big difference with St. John. St. John is the highest as theology and the teaching. So thank you for this beautiful instruction, construction, and good job and good taste. And thank God, you know, thank you for those who donated. the money to make this possible, and may God remember them in His kingdom. Now, back to our homily. Beloved in Christ, before I make some comments on the gospel reading and on the epistle reading, look what I heard this morning, the reception service. It's very meaningful and it struck me so much. And this is part of our ministry. Behold, a great priest who in his days pleased God. Therefore, with an oath, the Lord hath made him great among his people. He gave him the blessing of all peoples and hath confirmed his covenant upon his head. Therefore, with an oath, the Lord hath made him great among his people. Glory be, etc. So here's talking about the priesthood and about the servitors and about those who do this ministry. O God, our protector, look graciously upon us and look upon the face of thine anointed. O Lord, save thy servant, the Archbishop, who hopes in thee, my God. Send him help, O Lord, from thy holy place, and from Zion protect him. Let not the enemy prevail against him, nor the son of iniquity draw near to harm him. You know, we are talking about the priesthood. As I said in the beginning, you know, we live in a very secular, and we are attacked by many evil thoughts and minds and actions and habits and practices. And if we don't pray for our Archbishop, if we don't pray for our priests, if we don't pray for our hierarchs in general, if we don't pray for our Holy Father now in Syria, he lives there, he resides there, and in this turmoil and the troubles, he is trying to travel everywhere just like to encourage people to stay, not to leave their homes and not to leave their country and not to be hopeless. And by the way, during the beginning of the first 10 days of October, our Holy Father will be visiting the United States, but for a short time, for two purposes. He is not going to travel from one parish to another because he is 93 years old. He cannot do that. So he's coming for the University of Balamand in New York. Bless you. And so he has a meeting in New York for the University of Balamand. You know, like before he departs this life, he wants to fulfill his one of his dreams. He is building an Orthodox university for the entire Middle East. And the second purpose is to have take up in Houston. So I will be traveling to Houston to receive his blessing and meet him. The last thing, you know, like I would say to here today, to share with you this beautiful reading from the book of Revelation. Usually in the Orthodox Church we don't read the book of Revelation because, you know, like we get tense, we get scared, we get you know, like today, dragons and whatever. But you know, the church has given us freedom to read it at home. So we don't read it in the church. Father Stephen was telling me that in this Western Rite, according to Western Rite, we read it twice a year. You know, on the feast of Saint Michael, because Michael, you know, like has defeated the dragon and defeated the evil one. So it's symbolically. And the other on some other occasion. But look what I understand from this passage is the real meaning of freedom. When we are not controlled by any evil power, that is the meaning of freedom. You know, freedom now, political freedom, human freedom, financial freedom, marital freedom, you name it, that is not the real meaning of freedom. The real meaning of freedom is this: when we are free of any evil thought or any evil, you know, control. So that's why, you know, like, from this passage of Revelation, we go to St. Matthew, and same but different, you know, wording, different style. So it says here, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You know, in the kingdom of heaven, no one is smaller or greater or whatever. So we are equal, but not in the meaning like of equality, you know, we use in our life. So political equality or political freedom is something else. Here we are talking about how to be in the kingdom of God. That is the most important question. And Jesus called a little child to him, a little child, and this is the answer, and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. Beautiful word, I will comment on that. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And who shall receive one such little child in my name, receive me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Wow. Woe unto the world because of offenses. You know, so the book of Revelation is looking for like dragon and something like that, the evil one prevails in us, on us. The answer in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, is the kingdom of God. Like when we are free, or where we are, when we are in the kingdom of God, we are free of any evil. That is profound. That is very important, beloved in Christ. So therefore, this is the meaning, you know, like for us. This is the meaning. This is the practice. You know, like we are in the church for freedom from any evil, in order to live the new meaning of freedom. The new meaning of freedom means like to be purified, to be, you know, repentant, to be like to convert, to be a convert, to be converts every day. You know, I've been Orthodox, but I said to the people in Alaska last year that I am a convert, and they were surprised like to hear that. So that, you know, like transmission and conversion, and no, I didn't mean that. I said I have to be a convert. I have to convert to Orthodoxy, to the faith, every day, by improving myself, by becoming a new person. So conversion here means not like to be born again, like as they say it somewhere else. So by becoming a little child doesn't mean that now I am in my 60s, now I have to go back and born again and be a little boy, and my mom will, you know, nurture me and something like... No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about that the sin, the evil in my life has to die, and I will be born again. A new life, a new spiritual life, a new spiritual experience. So that's why, you know, like when we receive communion, so this is a new promise, a new life. We go back to the same sin. We go back to the same communion. We go back to the same, you know, this is an ongoing process. So we have to be brave, we have to be great, courageous, and we say, you know, like we need to choose, we need to make a choice. And we need to choose God over anything else in this life. That's why we need all of you, all the believers, to understand that. We need the church to make a big difference, to bring more flavor, a new flavor in our life, in our society. Now they are fighting over, you know, like a man should be married to one woman or two or three, or, you know, like they are confusing us. They are confusing us, even politicians, even powerful people. They are bringing more confusion to young people and to families and to all of us. You know, we know the right thing. We know that the right thing is to follow, you know, like this and that. And the church is not bringing anything new. Some people said, you know, the church is an old fashioned, we need something new. That is nonsense. Our Lord Jesus Christ will never change. The dogma of our church will never change. You and I, we must change. You know, you turn the TV on every day. What do you hear? What do you watch? Nonsense. Very confusing, you know, things. Very confusing things. Yesterday I had a big day with the youth, with two churches, the Cathedral and St. Michael's in Venice. So I called it on my calendar Youth Day. So I spent most of the day with them. They are confused. They have no idea what to choose. So by sitting with them yesterday, you know, like we talked about a million of things. And if you saw that flyer, I said no cell phone, no parents there. You know why? Because they ask for that. They ask for that. The young people ask for the parents not to be there, and I listened to that, and I respected that. You know why? Because, you know, some of them are embarrassed, like, to say something about their problems when their parents, you know, are sitting there. So I was with them, sitting with them, listening to them, and with some teachers from those who are experts in Sunday schools. In Sunday schools, so they were present there. But I divided the meeting into two. The high school, the college, you know, no, the high school that age, and the college people in the afternoon. And we had a wonderful time, very uplifting time, and I had lunch with them, and I encouraged them, and I promise, what you hear from me, I promise you, that it's coming to here. Because, you know, like a church without young people, it will die. It will die. So we need all of you. We need the wisdom of the seniors, and we need the energy and the vitality of the young people. And we need to save them from the evil one. It's not fair to let them, you know, be attacked every day by a different evil, by a different evil philosophy or notions or thoughts or something like that. So I said to myself, let me begin with two churches close to each other, and then I will go from one church to another. And they asked something very interesting, and I had it in my mind, that why don't we have a conference, a youth conference for all the dioceses. I said to them, you have my promise. You have my promise. And look, if we are afraid, and we have many fears in our life, if we are afraid not to have the means for this meeting, like many good people, like all of you here, like those who donated, you know, like the money, they left that in their will. So a gentleman and his wife, they said they are ready to pay for this cause, for the youth cause, $100,000. So the money is not, when we trust God, when we put all our, you know, like faith in Him, so He will give us everything we need to make our ministry easier and blessed. So beloved in Christ, have faith. Make your faith deeper, deeper. Let the faith heal any situation in this holy community or in this society in general. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your loved ones, those who are present here and those who are away. Don't judge. You know, judgment means that you make everything, you know, like, look bad. And you become negative. So pray for any situation. And maybe a decision for some situation will be late a little bit. It's coming. It's coming. Let us have faith in God that He is our leader and He is showing us the way. You know, even me as an archbishop, you know, I cannot have everything under my control like the way I like. Sometimes, you know, like most of the time, I suffer because of this situation or that. I trust God. And you know what? They call me a happy bishop, a smiling bishop. I love that. I love that. This is the only thing I have to share with people. Like to be smiling and to give them hope and to give them, you know, like some hope, some encouragement. So the church is not like to be sad and to be afraid and to be, you know, like hopeless. The church is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. So I pray for all of you, beloved in Christ. I pray for the newly elevated today, the Archpriest Stephen. And I pray for our clergy present here, and the parish council, and all the organizations, and all the visitors, and all your loved ones, even those who are not in the same faith. We pray for them, because God is so gracious. God is so forgiving. God is so loving. God bestows His mercy upon all of us. Amen.